I wanted to call your attention to the bulletin this morning, which had an article in it that says, Don't Give Up. And the reason then that I wanted to do the lesson tonight is to tie it into that with regard to the consistency and persistence that we have as a Christian. We see people from time to time just giving up, and we can't afford to do that. We have to just continue and be faithful and acknowledge that as time passes, we're getting closer and closer to heaven. So with that in mind, I wanted to talk about the word almost tonight. I brought some football in for you. If you look at the chart on the Cowboys are playing tonight, and I know that I'm competing with the Cowboys, which is pretty good competition. But at the same time, there's a lesson to be observed. If you notice, sometimes when the guy gets almost to the goal line, he'll let up. And in the picture before you, he's losing it because somebody's fixing to tackle him before he crosses the goal line. The idea is, well, that's you don't get a score for that. There's nothing good about giving up at the last minute or quitting at the last meeting or let the enemy overcome you at the last meeting. So the idea of not giving up is something that absolutely must be a part of our thinking and a part of our character, that we persist. We're not going to give up. And I've used this tonight to sort of bring to your mind the idea how much we use the word almost. When you look at all of these, you have the idea in every one of them. I just did some research and how people look at the word almost. And the sign says on the left, almost there. Then you've got the almost home kennels. And again, almost there. And you look at this and you recognize that you're not quite over the line. You haven't gotten home yet. You say something is almost impossible. Well, it's not impossible with God. With God, all things are possible. And then keep calm. We're almost there. And I've said that to my kids when they were little and we were traveling. Don't make me come back there. Settle down. Keep calm. We're almost there. And then there's the picture of that squirrel reaching out for the nut. And he's not going to get it unless he crosses that space. He's got to get to the nut, got to get to the reward. And then 14 diseases we've almost forgot about. And here the last few months I've been reading about someone coming in. They haven't had their vaccines. They're bringing in measles. At TCU this last week they had a couple of cases of mumps, and those things are almost obliterated so far as the country is concerned, but we haven't done it because people keep coming in with diseases that haven't had vaccines, and so we're all susceptible to that. And then almost done, almost, not quite, we've got to keep on going. Hope you get the idea that so many times we'll almost get there and then give up. And the bulletin and this lesson is saying, don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Don't let others pull you away. Almost, but not there. And so when you look at the Bible, there are a lot of stories about people who didn't quite make it. Remember the story of Lot's wife in Genesis chapter 19. And Sodom and Gomorrah were going to be destroyed by the fury of God against the lifestyle that was there. And as they were warned to leave, the angel said, don't look back. Don't look back. Well, they almost got away, and yet she had to look back. She never crossed the finish line. She was turned into a pillar of salt. And she didn't quite get the freedom that she was looking for. And, of course, a lot of things happened to Lot because of that. So when you think about someone nearly doing something but not quite enough. Let's make a personal application of that to the idea of being a Christian till I draw my last breath. I'm not finished. I'm not finished until God calls me home. And we've got work to do. There are things to be done. So we're looking at this and recognizing that some people never get to the finish line. There's Moses, and you read about him, and the Bible says of Moses that he was the meekest man alive at that time, yet he was a great leader. And he had to put up with people that are stubborn and stiff-necked and complained and whined and did all those things. And they were going through the wilderness. They had to have food. God provided the manna. And he struck, Moses wanted water for the people. And he was told to speak to the rock, but in his frustration, he struck the rock. And the water came out. He got the water for the people of Israel. But the end result was that he was denied entrance to the promised land. Now, sort of throw you a trick question. Did he ever make the promised land? Did Moses ever get into the promised land? Well, you go to Matthew 17 and the transfiguration, and there was Elijah and Moses and Jesus Christ. So in that sense, he got to the promised land, but he never inherited it like he had wanted to. He just, what parents say today, he lost it. He just couldn't get that last bit of patience to see him through. And you think about the many, many times they turned on him, and sometimes they were ready to stone Moses. And they were hard-hearted and sinful, and he had people all the time turning against him. And while he did so much, he never quite made the promised land. And that's something to think about in the life of Moses. As much as we admire him, he was not a perfect man and lost his temper when he shouldn't have. Then there's the rich young ruler of Mark chapter 10. There was Jesus in the midst of his ministry, performing all of the miracles, doing things to help the lame and the sick and the deaf and cast out the demons, all those things. And a rich young ruler came and said, "What should I do? Tell me what I should do." And the Lord told him to give up what he had and serve the Lord. The Bible says he went away sorrowful, for he had many possessions, much possessions. And he let that interfere. I mean, Matthew and James and Peter, they gave up their business and they came to be with the Lord. And this young ruler could have been an apostle if they had maybe begun to follow the Lord. But he just couldn't give up the things of life. The world interfered. And sometimes there's this temptation. You look at all the denominations. I have to tell you that I get nearly envious when I see all these beautiful buildings that the denominations have, and we don't have one nearly as nice. And I say, how in the world do they do that? And why do they have that teaching error, and we teach the truth, and we don't have something nearly as fine as that? But the idea is that we should be content with what we have and recognize that we'll still try to serve God and make the best of a situation. But I look at all those people that have these major cathedrals and things of that nature, and there's a little bit of envy in me when I wish we had the same thing. But we don't have, and so we continue to do the work of the Lord. But this rich young ruler turned away. He turned away. And I don't know what happened later, you know, when he finally died. Did he realize what he'd missed? Did he realize how close he was to something marvelous and wonderful, that he could have been a servant of Jesus Christ? And you look at those things, and the sad part is that he didn't cross the finish line. He never did what he should have done. Then we have King Agrippa. And King Agrippa was in the presence of no less than Paul the Apostle. And he had seen the things of the kingdom of heaven. And his father had murdered the innocent children at Bethlehem because he was afraid there was another king of the Jews. Now this Agrippa was hearing the Apostle Paul. Paul was a prisoner. And he came to see Agrippa because he sent for him. And here was I just think of what an honor it would be to have heard the Apostle Paul teach and to preach. But we have his letters. We see what marvelous truths that he taught. And so we think, Agrippa, you're a special person. You've got a chance to become a Christian and have a part in the kingdom of heaven. And he said, "No, you almost persuade me. Come back another day. When it's more convenient, maybe I'll hear you." History doesn't record that he ever made that choice. Almost, so close. I can picture the regret at the judgment day. When they look back and they say, "I was almost there. All I had to do was just listen to Paul. All I had to do was just listen, because he said he believed the prophets. But again, he wasn't ready to make that commitment, because he was entangled with Rome, and because the Jews would not have liked what he would have done had he become a disciple of Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, when you really get to the judgment day, and you look back at that pivotal moment of your life, and all of us have had one, you have that pivotal moment of your life when you recognize, I'm lost. I've got to do something about it. I'll never forget when I was baptized into Christ in Kilgore, Texas, when I was young. And I had used the speech of the world. I was a caddy at the golf course, and they all cussed. And I thought, oh boy, I can be as big as they are, and I can cuss too. And then I went to services. And I felt so bad, because I knew the language is not the way the Lord wanted me to speak. And I went down that aisle. The preacher was gone in a meeting. The song leader baptized me into Christ. I've never regretted it. That was a pivotal moment in my life. You can look back when you obeyed the gospel, if you remember that far. It's sort of a chore for me too. But nevertheless, I'll never forget what a wonderful moment it was when I knew that I was baptized into Christ and my sins were gone. It made it all worthwhile. I decided to finish the course. Then, of course, you've got these people, and it's reflected in our songs, but they're so close. And the regret that people are going to feel when they get to the judgment day and know that I could have just lived a little bit more, and I would have made it to heaven. And I've got an eternity to be turned away from God. I think of the regret that I would have if I could not be among the singers in heaven. The regret that I would have if I couldn't see Jesus. The regret that I would have if I heard Jesus say, depart from me, I never knew you. And that's going to happen so many millions of times when people just didn't finish what they knew they should do. And so I'm saying to us as Christians, never give up. Never, ever give up, because we don't have that. And so the song that we sing, sad, sad, almost cannot avail, almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, I don't remember all the words, but the idea is, I'm lost. I'm lost. How'd that affect you? When on the other hand, you can say, I'm not lost. I'm a child of God. I've got promises that I'm standing on. And so, sad, sad, that bitter whale, almost but lost. Let's don't do that. Not a one of us here. Not a one of us is going to give up. We have things to do. We've got work to perform. And we're going to do it because we know that it's right. And so, are you almost saved? I believe tonight those who are here, who are accountable, have believed in Jesus. Jesus said in John 8:24, except you believe that I am. Now the editors of the Bible add, except you believe that I am He. But really what Jesus is saying is that I am the I Am. The same thing in Exodus, when you have the burning bush, and Moses saw that and said, who shall I tell the people in Israel, in Egypt, that I've been sent by you? And he said, tell them the I Am has sent you. And that's such a wonderful concept. It has no beginning, it has no end. It's simply I Am. And Jesus said that of himself. In Luke 13:3, except you repent, you'll all in like manner perish. Repentance has been said to be the hardest commandment of all, because we have to change our mind and change our life. But repentance is part of that that we have to understand. Then Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 that we must confess Him. And if we don't confess Him before men, He'll not confess us before the angels of heaven. And the opposite of that is, when we get to heaven, He'll say, I know you. I know you. Come on in. And that's the way that it's going to be. And then be baptized into Christ in Acts 2:38, and then becomes the part that we never quit. Be thou faithful to death. And that means up to and including death. Be faithful to death, and I'll give you the crown of life. You know, I don't know what the crown of life looks like. Do you? But just think, it's going to be a crown for me and a crown for you. And this is something that we look forward to. But to be almost saved is to be totally lost. And there have been times in my life, I'll have to admit, there have been times in my life when I was mightily discouraged. I've had brethren stab me in the back. I've had brethren treat me pretty rough. And I was thankful enough to recognize they're not the judge. I'm going to serve the Lord with all that I can. And if they don't like it, that's their problem. I talked to a man one time who'd been real rough on me. And I said, I know that you don't like my preaching. That's right. And I said, I know that your wife doesn't like my preaching. That's right. Both of them said that. I said, that's your problem. I'm a one-talent man, just pedaling as hard as I can pedal. And I'm not going to quit pedaling just because somebody doesn't like it. They're both gone now, and I'm still here. So this is a lesson that we learn. Never, never, never give up. So we must finish the race. And then you look at Hebrews chapter 10. And you look at Hebrews chapter 10, and there's some marvelous things that are said there. And what we have to understand about these individuals is that they were people just like us. They didn't have extraordinary powers. Now, they could hear God speak to them on different occasions, but I have too. I've got the Word of God, and I know that it's true. In Hebrews chapter 10, beginning of verse 35, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And he then quotes, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. If anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the savings of the soul. Isn't that marvelous? Then you notice that faith always is accompanied by a verb in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abel. That's in verse 4. And I didn't list all the things in Hebrews 11. But it's called the Hall of Heroes. These are the heroes that have finished the course. They didn't stop short. So verse 4 says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. That's the work that Cain did. In verse 5, you have the statement, by faith Enoch was taken away so he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. But for before he was taken, he had this testimony, he pleased God. Wouldn't you like to meet Enoch one of these days? He's not just a name in this book. He's a person, and he pleased God. And then in verse 7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of the household. I heard someone say one time that he imagined, and this is speculation, he said, I imagine the kids in the towns around Noah, they'd probably call him crazy old Noah, up there building a boat, and there never has been a rain. How's he going to get that boat to the water? And I can imagine that the Bible says that he was 120 years preaching the word. And he didn't have a single convert except his own family. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned, built the ark. In verse 11, by faith, Abraham. And there's a number of things that Abraham did to show his faith. And he had to walk away from his home and family and go into a land that he didn't know where he was going. God said, just go and I'll show you where. And look at all the things that followed Abraham as he went into the Canaan land and had his faith tried. In verse 11, by faith Sarah, even Sarah had this great faith. And this separates the people who don't reach the line with the people who cross the finish line. All of these did. And so if you look at chapter 11 and beginning of verse 32, we'll not mention all of those individuals in that. But in verse 32, what more shall I say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, that has to be Daniel, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yea, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. And so you come to the New Testament, the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ goes back, Hebrews 9 verse 15 says, and cleanses those of the past who had faith. And so Paul could say, I have fought the good fight, finished the race, I've kept the faith. And somehow in my mind, I visualize the Apostle Paul in chains, being led out onto the road outside of Rome, made to kneel and put his head on the chopping block, and they cut off his head. But he finished the course. You see, those things are put in the Bible for a reason. That is that we can have the same endurance. We have had it so much easier than they did. Let's don't give up because of easiness and because we look at other people and they're better off than we are. They're really not. And so we need to understand that we're not going to give up for any reason whatsoever. We're glad that you're here tonight, and I'm recognizing that I'm talking to people who are members of the church who are faithful. But I know the devil works on us, and sometimes people might decide just to quit. I've seen people do that. Just give up and quit. And as the bulletin said, never give up. And that's what the finish line says. I want to cross the finish line at the end of my life and be found in Christ Jesus. And I know you do too. So take this to heart. Recognize that we're not ever going to give up. We're pressing on, doing what God wants us to do. If you need to obey the gospel in any way, if there's something that stands between you and that reward, we'd like to encourage you to let us know that we can pray with you and for you. We'd like to ask you to come while we stand together, while we sing the invitation song.